Hello and welcome back. I'm your host, Dandy Zhu, and you're listening to Digital Health Forward, a podcast dedicated to sharing the stories of healthcare entrepreneurs, leaders, and executives who are moving the digital health industry forward. In this episode, I had a chance to chat with Sari Kaganoff, General Manager of Consulting at Rock Health. As GM of Consulting, Sari advises healthcare and life science companies on their digital health strategy. Founded in 2010 by Hallie Tecco and Nate Gross, Rock Health is an early stage venture fund that supports startups working in digital health and has an advisory services business that supports enterprise companies. Rock Health keeps a pulse on the digital health industry, publishing annual reports on digital health funding, consumer adoption, equity in digital health, and many other topics, and also convenes leaders at industry events, including the Rock Health Summit and Digital Health 50. Hi, Sari.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to chat with you today.
Yeah, great to see you again. So tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into healthcare and digital health and what your journey has been like through healthcare.
Yeah, so it's been a bit of a winding road. I started off my undergraduate degrees in technology and communications, and I actually started working for a fintech startup in Israel. I worked there for about 5 years and, you know, survived the crash of 2008. But ultimately decided that I really wanted to do more strategy work. And then business school seemed like the perfect pivot for that. So I attended University of Chicago Booth School of Business. And during my time there, I did an internship at a healthcare startup, which was a really great learning experience. But, you know, it was also good to leave it because, you know, many startups are sort of struggling. And I sort of felt like, okay, that was a great experience. Now time to get even more experiences. So the best way to get a lot of experience is to go into consulting. So after Booth, I joined McKinsey in the Tel Aviv office. Very quickly at McKinsey, I gravitated toward the healthcare practice and began working with pharmacos and healthcare clients, mostly because a lot of the people that I really admired at McKinsey were working in that area. And also because I just really felt like I could identify with the impact and the mission of what we were doing. You know, everybody's been a patient or knows a patient, and I just really felt like what I'm doing is making a difference, you know, and so I really enjoyed that. I'd say about a year into McKinsey, I did my first digital health project. And this was a really, I'm getting old here, so it was a while ago. And it just like blew my mind. I was like, wow, this is the future. It was building out a business model for an e-connected device, but it was just so exciting. And actually that project, we helped the client get into an NHS testbed to test out the solution. So it was really, really cool, really impactful. And I was just like, wow, this is what I want to do. So throughout my time at McKinsey, I really sort of began to navigate myself as much as possible toward digital health, as well as patient experience. And so I did a lot of work with different clients on those topics. And, you know, as I got more senior at McKinsey, I also had more choice in the matter of what I would work on. So I really was able to do a lot of that work. At McKinsey, I also began to build out the Health Tech Network, which was a network of healthcare startups innovating across the spectrum in healthcare. It really enabled me to understand what was happening on the ground in innovation in healthcare and bring those insights to my clients. So that was something that I was really working on and really enjoying. And then when COVID hit this past year, I realized this is digital health's moment. Like the train is leaving the station. It's happening now. And I decided that it was the time for me to shift to a place where I could really focus all of my time and effort on digital health. You know, Rock Health, where I am now, has always been made an impression on me as sort of like the source of truth in digital health. And when I connected with Tom, who is the president of Rock Health, he really shared his vision about this virtuous cycle of innovation happening, you know, between startups and enterprise companies. And I realized like that is exactly what I've been trying to build with the Health Tech Network at McKinsey. And so I came to Rock Health to build out a consulting practice here. And essentially, it's a new business. It's a startup within Rock Health. But it's been so far, you know, I'm about 4 or 5 months in, but it's been a really great ride so far. And I'm really enjoying it.
That's great. And tell us a little bit more about what Rock Health is. I know you guys are a venture fund, one of the first ones that are dedicated solely to digital health. And you're also a convener of industry leaders. You publish a ton of articles and reports. I follow the newsletter as well. But how should we think about Rock Health as a whole, how the team is sort of organized, and what it means for you to be GM of consulting?
Yeah. So, well, you said it pretty well. Rock Health basically has two parts to our business. We're a venture fund that invests in seed and Series A healthcare startups, digital health only, I should say. And on the other side, we have an advisory services business, which works with enterprise companies, healthcare, as well as tech and communications companies, anybody trying to build out digital health opportunities. And so what I do is I work on the enterprise side. So the consulting practice is essentially consulting and advising enterprise clients on digital health strategy. So anything from how to get into the market, what you should do there, who you could potentially acquire, things like diversity, equity, and inclusion in digital health, things like digital formularies, innovation in clinical trials, really anything to do with digital health innovation, but supporting enterprise companies on that side. In terms of the research and events and publications, so basically what we truly believe that as Rock Health, our goal is to make healthcare massively better for everyone. And the way we can do that is by convening the industry and also really developing insights on the industry. And those insights support our portfolio companies, they support our enterprise clients, and they really just help bring the industry forward. So we've been collecting for the last 10 years or so, a number of different types of data and insights. So number one is funding data. We have collected all funding going to US digital health companies over $2 million. So we have a database of all of the startups that exist, as well as M&A and things like that. We also have been tracking consumer adoption for the last 6 years. So we run surveys on how are consumers adopting digital technologies, as well as diversity, equity, and inclusion reports that focused on what is happening in the digital health space. The publications that we write really cover the spectrum of some of the topics we've already discussed, as well as other topics of interest for people in the digital health sphere, whether it be startups, venture investors, or enterprise companies.
And how are the needs of the enterprise clients that you're working with now in Rock Health perhaps similar or different than the clients you were working with at McKinsey? Is there something about Rock Health and also being a venture fund that positions you to advise on different types of strategic problems?
Yeah, so people really come to us because we are the experts in digital health. We are at the front lines. We know everybody. We're really well connected. So we can help understand, number one, what is happening in the space, right? So just like who is out there, what's happening, what's the innovation? We can connect people directly to startup founders or other people in the industry as is helpful. And everyone on my team, for example, is an expert in digital health. Even the analysts on the team, they are experts. They do this day in, day out. They know startups. They know, they interview regulatory experts. Like they are literally in this day in, day out. It's very different than McKinsey where you kind of throw a smart brain at the problem. So I would say people really come to us for the deep expertise and also that ability to innovate within digital health, right? Rock Health's been around for a while and we've done a lot of innovative things throughout our time in the industry. So being able to think about problems that nobody's really thought of before, like how do you think about the KPIs or the metrics for digital health formulary? How do you think about ensuring that health disparities that exist in the regular healthcare system don't get perpetuated in digital health, like really being able to innovate on these things because we know the space so well and because we're just so well connected. So I'd say it's very much like the same type of strategic thinking that you would go to for McKinsey, but with the added lens of like, we are experts and we're well connected.
That makes a lot of sense. And so over time, as you've gone through McKinsey, 7 years there, leading patient experience domain, the Health Tech Network, and now at Rock Health, building up this team, you've had the opportunity to look across the digital health landscape from quite a few different angles. So I'm curious how you've seen the industry change and evolve over time. What are some of the trends or biggest shifts in the forces of the market?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would say one of the first most notable things is that when I started off in digital health, it was sort of like a fun pilot for most people. Obviously, there were startups involved in the space, but especially for the enterprise companies, it was like, oh, let's try this out. Let's dabble. You know, even from the government perspective, it was not something that was like to be taken seriously just yet. Everybody was like testing it out. I think now we've gotten to a point where there's a recognition that digital health is core to business survival in healthcare. Like it just is here and it's here to stay and it's growing and getting bigger and better. And it will transform our industry just like it has a lot of the other industries like retail and et cetera, banking, et cetera. So I think that it's really transitioned from a, let's check this out, to like, we need to be good at this to survive. So that's kind of one thing. On the startup scene, obviously the landscape has exploded. When Rock Health started collecting data in 2011, around $1 billion was invested in digital health in the US versus this year, 2020, through Q3 already, $9.4 billion was invested just this year, which, by the way, was a pretty big bump over the $7.4 invested in all of 2019. So definitely the amount of money going in has increased. The other thing that you see is that a lot of the money, a lot of startups are getting more larger amounts of money. So those startups are maturing in the space. It's not just that the volume of deals has gone up. The next point around the size is that a lot of the digital health companies have really matured and grown up. So essentially, there was for 3 years of IPO drought. There were no digital health companies that had gone public. But in the last year and a half, a number of companies have gone public, including Teladoc, Amwell, GoodRx, and a number of others. But definitely there's like a big burst of that, as well as a lot of unicorns popping up, as well as the new beast, which is the SPAC. So I had to educate myself last year. I'm like, what is a SPAC? But anyway, definitely a lot of growth and companies maturing and coming of age, which is really interesting. I'd say the next thing to think about is that really the regulatory environment has also changed significantly. The FDA has been very explicit about thinking about how do we incorporate digital health into the processes for regulatory approval. They have a new center of excellence that was established with Bukul Patel as the head of it. There have been a number of digital therapeutics approvals in the last couple of years. So things have really changed in a way that, would have seemed like a myth just a few years ago. So we definitely see the regulatory landscape advancing as well. If we think about like the themes and how they have changed over time of where people have focused, I would say that the initial focus was really on digitizing healthcare and providing tools to just help us into the 21st century. So if you think about things like telemedicine, appointment booking, online reviews, a lot of those types of things, which were just applied to healthcare, but really just digitizing what we do. However, now we're starting, there's a shift, and over the last few years, there's really been a shift to thinking about how can digital innovation actually change healthcare, like change how healthcare is delivered. So we have digital therapeutics, which really would have been unexpected a couple of years ago. So treatment without even having a medication. You have a lot of connected devices, you have personal digital interventions. So really changing the way we think about healthcare. I think now there's starting to be a shift toward looking at what are the unmet needs that really need to be tackled? So where are the areas that have not been addressed by healthcare before? So one of the major areas that's seen a lot of interest is women's health, otherwise known as femtech. And actually you can see there's a podcast I did with Business Group on Health on that topic. And we go very deep into femtech. There's also a focus on minorities, thinking about populations that are minorities and how they are struggling, whether it be racial and ethnic minorities or other types of minorities. But a lot of times healthcare is not serving their needs, and how can we use digital health to do that better? And also thinking about much more niche, narrow disease areas. So the first wave of digital health solutions was in diabetes, right? That's where everybody has it and everybody needs it. But now thinking about what are the really narrow kind of rare diseases or niche specific areas that solutions can be designed for. I do think there's still a lot of opportunity to rethink healthcare from the ground up. A lot of the solutions in place today are really still just incremental change based on all good change and all in a great direction, but it's definitely a little bit more incremental. So there's still an opportunity to rethink how things are done.
What do you think the barriers are to rethink how things are done completely? And who is best positioned to really build that new next generation health system, let's say?
I think the barriers is that the first one is the healthcare system is really complicated, and there's a lot of different stakeholders. There's a lot of existing things going on. It's really hard to just design a solution. Essentially, you need someone to pay for it, right? And consumers are not used to paying for their healthcare, nor should they. Like, you can debate whether they should or shouldn't, but that's not something they're used to. So if you want to make money on your digital health solution, someone in the healthcare system has to pay for it, which means it's really hard to create something that's completely different and new, because someone in the healthcare system has to cover it. So it has to somehow fit into what we have today. Once it has to fit into what we have today, it's a lot harder to design something completely new from scratch. I think that's definitely one of the challenges. I mean, honestly, I think anyone can do it, right? It just takes a little, it could be an entrepreneur who's new to healthcare and is taking experiences from outside of healthcare. It could be someone who's been in healthcare for a long time and knows what the challenges are with the system. But I would say, you know, coming up with an innovative way to start out so that you can get some traction and then pivot over to a broader population is really important. And there are some examples of, you know, I don't want to get into too many examples here, but I do know some examples of entrepreneurs who have a big vision and they're gently and incrementally building up to it so that there is some traction along the way, even though their plan is something really big.
Yeah. The other thing I've been thinking about a lot is just sort of overall as an industry, we've seen the forces of decentralization out of the hospital, whether that's, you know, looking at specific disease areas, looking at just different parts of the patient journey. And now we have all these new entrants like retail clinics, people like One Medical doing concierge-like things, and these digital health companies. But as we look ahead, do you think there's going to be sort of a reverse force of centralization and aggregation again of perhaps digital solutions into the new like Teladoc, Livongo, preeminent digital health system, or some sort of like more consolidated version of what we see today?
Yes, I definitely think so. And I think the main reason for that is that we as consumers and physicians as consumers and everybody as consumers, we don't want fragmentation like this. I mean, I personally do most of my shopping on Amazon and I do it because my login is there and it's easy, right? Not because they have the best product on every dimension, but just like, I don't want to deal, right? So I think that consumers in general don't want that fragmentation. And so I definitely think we're going to see consolidation. And also it's not efficient to have the fragmentation that we have today. Your records are not passed from one thing to another, et cetera. But I guess there, to my mind, there's a number of different types of platforms that can emerge. So there may be the Teladoc, Livongo example, like you laid out, but there could also be scenarios where it's more like an operating system. So, you know, for example, now with your iPhone, you can subscribe and unsubscribe to services with your same, you know, you can just go into the settings and just change it, right? So there could be a solution where you have multiple companies plugging into one platform so that for the user, it feels like one experience, but actually different people are providing parts of the service. You know, like there's different ways that could play out. It may not only be like monolithic big digital health companies, but I do think we'll see consolidation.
That's so interesting, the operating system idea. Another question I had was around what sort of mental models you have now that you've been in the healthcare industry for so long, how to like make sense of this world. So do you look at companies and ideas, opportunities based on patient journeys? Or do you think about it from like the business problem they're trying to solve specifically or categorize them into business models?
Yeah, it's a great question. I actually do everything. I was just, planning out a project we're about to do for a client. And we actually came up with 8 different frameworks to think about and different ways to categorize. Now, we're probably not going to use all of them, but I think it, depending on what you're trying to do, it can be really helpful to look at things from different angles. So I try to kind of look at things from multiple angles generally.
That makes sense. So what do you feel like are the biggest learnings, if you could suss them out, that you've gathered over time that have shaped the way you look at what companies are perhaps going to be successful versus not? Essentially, like what is noise in the industry versus signal?
Yeah. So I would say number one, solve a problem for a real person. That is the number one thing that I'm looking for. A lot of times people get really excited by a certain technology or, you know, they're like, oh, this would be so cool. But like, what is the problem you're solving? Is there a problem you're solving? So that's kind of the first, I would say you really need to think about. The next is what we just talked about, business model. Business model is key. Who's going to pay for the fact that you're going to solve that problem? Knowing that in advance is really important. A lot of newer entrepreneurs miss that point, especially if they're new to healthcare. They're like, wow, this is the greatest thing ever. It's like, okay, great. But who is going to pay for it? And what is the business model going to be? How are you going to charge for it? I'd say that having a personal story or a strong passion around the topic is really critical because there will be challenging times and you will need to persevere and there will be a lot of failure and challenges. And so having a true motivation around why you're doing this, and it's not just, you know, I thought this was a cool idea in my dorm room, you know, will be really important. Then I'd say that, you know, you need to understand healthcare really well. And if it's not you as the founder, that's okay. It can be someone on your team that you bring in, but healthcare is complicated and it is nuanced. So, you know, being naive to healthcare completely is not going to serve you well in a digital health startup. Then I would say like having patience and being willing to pivot, right? It takes a long time in this industry. You see the companies IPOing today or, you know, kind of growing up. They've been around for, I think it's around 9 years on average to IPO. I could run the numbers again, but I think that's what I recall. And so thinking about the time it takes, it's a few years till your product's on market. It's a few more years until you have a lot of traction behind it. Like it really does take time. This isn't like a one hit one or sort of like an instant slam dunk. So being patient, being willing to pivot as things change, having that kind of fortitude is really critical. But then I would say also sometimes it's really a moment in time for a certain technology or type of solution. And then the industry gets behind it. You can see over and over that there are times where multiple companies with the same general idea are actually launching at the same time. And it's almost like the forces of nature, the industry are behind that idea at that moment. And so sometimes it's really just about that, where it's we're saying like, okay, what do we want to invest in as a trend? Or where do we believe the industry is headed as a trend? And then you just pick the right people with the right skill set behind that idea.
And because of COVID, what areas do you feel like right now that is happening to? What are those areas that you feel like a lot of companies are trying to solve problems around?
Yeah. So I think COVID specific, what we've seen is firstly, a lot of on-demand healthcare solutions. So telemedicine, remote monitoring, delivery prescriptions, even Amazon launching their new pharmacy. There's a lot of kind of that type of on-demand healthcare, obviously. I'd say the next area is really at-home fitness, because nobody really goes to the gym anymore. So there's been a lot of focus around that. And then, you know, a lot of also R&D catalysts, because suddenly everyone's like, wait a minute, we need to like be better and faster, or, you know, drug development process. But prior to COVID, I think the health, for women's health benefits were having a moment. So like fertility benefits or maternal health benefits, there are a number of companies that were launched roughly around the same time, focused on that topic. Couple of years before, it was the genetic testing. There's the primary care kind of concierge model wave. So there's sort of like different ones. I think that now the one that's kind of bubbling up, also COVID driven, is mental health. You know, so you sort of have like moments in time where certain ideas are kind of popping to the forefront.
And if we look out, say, 5 years, what do you think those areas would be?
Yeah. So I think it really goes back to a couple of the themes I already talked about. So number one, just rethinking care delivery, more connected, seamless, integrated, streamlined data, like not stuck in random EMRs in different places and all of that. So I think that will be one thing that we'll be kind of ready to tackle. I think the use of AI in clinical decision making is growing and will continue to grow. So I think that's something that will be interesting. And then again, some of the specific support for people who have been underserved in the past. So women, diversity, you know, kind of minorities, specific diseases that are kind of niche, aging in place, I think is an interesting theme that will emerge as people kind of shift, especially by the way, with COVID and the whole fiascos that happened in nursing homes. So thinking about the kind of aging population. And I think that what I'm really excited for is that we will discover things we just never knew about our health and our bodies and how it all works that digital will enable. So I think that will be a pretty cool wave as new insights come to bear.
Yeah. The other trend I've been reading more about lately is around food as medicine and social determinants of health, and how, I guess this is a little bit digital health adjacent, but in general, like, is there a way that we can reimburse and cover for healthy food and make it actually accessible and be able to change consumer behavior that way? Because we know that downstream, that's going to save the healthcare system a ton of costs, and it's a huge input into managing chronic disease. But it seems like more people are recently talking about, you know, how we can create the right distribution systems and incentives and reimbursement for healthy food, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah, totally. And thinking about, you know, what role can digital play in making that easier and more streamlined, right?
Yeah, definitely. So looking back, what do you wish you knew when you first started your career in healthcare?
It's kind of an interesting question. I'm kind of happy with how things played out, to be honest. I learned a lot along the way. I've had a lot of interesting experiences. I think for me, being in consulting was really valuable because you just get to touch so many different things and also to kind of punch above your weight in a sense. You know, you're just a new grad out of MBA and you talk to CEOs. I think that was a good move on my part. And I'd say also taking the time to get smart on the areas you're interested in, like figure out what you really care about and then just put in the personal investment in those, even if it's not something your company or, you know, other people are telling you to do, because it will pay off over time. But I'd say I sort of stumbled into it, but I think, you know, that journey of learning a lot by doing different kinds of things was really beneficial for me.
And do you have any advice for digital health founders and entrepreneurs who are looking to catch this next wave of innovation?
Yes. So number one, build your network. You just have to get to know people. So, you know, once COVID's over, attend events, have one-on-ones with people, just reach out to folks. You know, and don't be like overly focused on people who can help you in your particular solution. It's really just about building your network with who's out there. Because later on in a couple of years, suddenly those connections will come into play. You'll learn things from people you didn't realize. So, you know, as much as it's tempting to kind of keep your head down and just chug along and build out your innovation, I think really engaging with the universe and the people in it is critical. I would reiterate what I said before, solve problems for real people. Start from that lens, not from technology forward. Like, what are you really accomplishing? And then what are the tools that will help you get there? And then the last thing I'll say is get input early and often. I see a lot of entrepreneurs who are actually afraid to share their ideas for fear it will be copied. But it's really not about the idea in a lot of cases. As I mentioned before, like a lot of times the similar idea is being played out in multiple places. But what is important is to get input from people on that idea. And whether it's patients or providers or just general industry experts, I think it's really critical to get that input. So I'd say just iterate, get that input. Don't worry about, oh my gosh, they're going to steal my idea, you know?
Yeah. Well, great. Thank you so much. Sorry for all of your insights, for being so thoughtful here. This was a fascinating conversation on digital health. I'm really excited to share it with our listeners.
Great. I was happy to be here and to chat with you.